Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to start off our meditation on the gospel lesson today with a reference to Psalm 89. Psalm 89 and verse 24 and following. God is speaking about the Son of David, the Messiah. And he says, "But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted." That means his power and might. And then in verse 25 it says, "I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers." Now pay attention to that, all right? "I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also, I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him." All right. Now, once again, careful attention to those words in verse 25 of Psalm 89. "I will set his hand also in the sea and his right hand in the rivers." In verse 24, "his horn shall be exalted," all right, which means his power and his strength and his might. "And his hand, therefore, his mighty hand, I will set in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers." All right. Now, why did I belabor that point, you may be asking? Isn't it interesting to note, when you read the Gospels, that a good number of the manifestations of the deity and the identity of Jesus, the Son of God, the Christ, the Savior of the world, have to do with water? Did he not walk upon the water of the Sea of Galilee and display his power and reveal his identity to his disciples? And did he not, when they were in the boat and he was asleep in the back of the boat and a great storm arose and they were about to be swamped, and they woke him up and they said, "Don't you care that we're perishing?" And he stood up and he said, "Peace, be still." And instantaneously, there was a great calm. And the disciples whispered to themselves, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" There was the time when Peter and Jesus had to pay a tax, and Jesus told Peter to go down to the sea and throw his fishing line in, and when he catches a fish and takes it in, there'll be a coin in the fish's mouth, and Peter will take that coin and use it to pay the tax that he and Jesus owed. And here, Jesus begins to establish the apostolic foundations of his Christian church by the shore of the Sea of Galilee, which is also called Lake Gennesaret. All right, so let's now dive in to this gospel lesson. It says that the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. So Jesus was by the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and people, and this was a work day, right? The fishermen were out of their boats. They were washing their nets on shore after fishing all night. So this was a work day, and yet people heard that Jesus was in the vicinity, and they came from everywhere, and there was a crowd of people, and they were pressing upon him because they wanted to hear the word of God from Jesus' anointed lips. And so their desire to hear God's word is an example to us of the third commandment, that we should not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. And so they were pressing upon him, and so Jesus begins to look around, and he sees two boats that have pulled up to the shore, and outside of the boats, the fishermen are washing their nets. And he entered into one of the boats, which happened to be Simon Peter's boat, and he called to Simon, and he asked if Simon would do him the favor of pulling the boat out a little bit from the shore so that Jesus could teach the crowd of people without being thronged. So Peter jumped into the boat, probably with some assistance, and they moved the boat out a little bit from the shore, and Jesus sat down and began to teach the crowds. Now, as he was teaching the crowds, Peter and those who were with him in the boat and the other fishermen, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were washing their nets on the shore, everyone heard the preaching of Jesus concerning the kingdom of God and concerning the good news of salvation in Christ. And so it says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. So here now, we see a second allusion to one of the commandments, the seventh commandment. The seventh commandment says, thou shalt not steal. And Luther explains it by saying that we should fear and love God, that we may not take our neighbor's money or goods, nor get them by false ware or dealing, but help him to improve and protect his property and business. And so here you see the Lord Jesus blessing the property and business of Peter and the other fishermen. You see, these two things go together. They are not in competition with one another unless a person is thinking about these things according to the flesh. But We are all called to hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. And we are also called in the seventh commandment to get our living by honest means and to be a blessing to our neighbor, not only by not taking his money and his property, nor cheating him out of it, but also by helping him to improve and protect his property and business. Therefore, on the one hand, a Christian ought to be the kind of person who puts the highest priority, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his glory, and all these things shall be added unto you. But a Christian is also a person who diligently does an honest day's work and receives his daily bread from God as God gives it by means of a person's daily and regular occupation. All right. Now, but Jesus, he has something else in mind here. And so he tells Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now, Peter is a professional fisherman, and he's also tired, and he's also been out all night long. And one thing that fishermen knew, you don't fish in broad daylight, right? That's not when the fish are biting. And the other thing that you knew is that you don't go out into the deep water in the Sea of Galilee to catch fish. You fish along the shallows because that's where the fish feed. Okay, so Peter is a kind of he's a professional fisherman, and here Jesus, the preacher, tells him, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now, there's a struggle that goes on in Peter's mind. The fisherman in him says, Master, we have toiled all the night and we have caught nothing. Right? So the fisherman in Peter wants to kind of say, I appreciate the sentiment, but you know, I'm a fisherman. I know when I should fish. This is the way we are, you know. God tells us something clearly in his word. He expresses a gracious promise to us in his word, and we think that we know better. But notice that Peter has just been listening to Jesus preach. And so the fisherman in him does not win out in his mind, but rather the believer who has just heard the word of God from this magnificent preacher, Jesus. And that's who wins out in the argument that was going on in Peter's head. And so he says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And it's important that you see that this is a confession of faith in Jesus. He says, I'm going to do what is against my better judgment to do as a fisherman. I'm going to do it at your say-so. Right? He is confessing that he trusts the word of Jesus. And so he is going to act in accordance with the word of Jesus, however he may personally feel about it inside. Right? And that's the thing here. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. So he tells his men, all right, let the net down. And so they let down the net. And it says, when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets break. This happened fast, right? These seasoned fishermen, they throw out the net. The net no sooner sinks under the surface than there are fish filling the net. And they grab hold of the net and they begin to pull it in. And there's so many fish in the net that they can barely even pull it in. The nets are beginning to fray and to break. And so they have to call to their partners who are on land. Get over here and help us. We've got fish here. And the other guys jump in the boat and come over, and they are working while Jesus is sitting in the boat watching it happen, you know, and delighting in it. And they're filling the boats, and the both of these fishing boats get filled with fish, so much so that the boats are beginning to sink, right? So the boats are so full of fish that the boats are beginning to sink. They're losing their stability on the water. When Peter saw this, he reacts in an interesting way. He falls down at Jesus' knees and he says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Now, there's a number of things here. First of all, he says, "Depart from me." Why does he say that? Because the holiness and the power of Jesus have made him see in a moment's time his own unworthiness. Something has just happened in his life that he is unworthy of, and he knows that Jesus is the source of it. And so when he says, "Depart from me," what he's doing is he is confessing his unworthiness of this magnificent grace. Then the second thing he says is, "I am a sinful man." All right? And now these are not words said casually. What Peter is doing is he is literally pouring out his sins to Jesus. He is acknowledging all the sins he has ever committed. He is saying, "You are holy, you are good, and you are graciously powerful. I am unworthy and I am sinful." And then the last thing he says is, O Lord, O Lord. Now earlier, when Jesus said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets, Peter addressed him by saying, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. So he called Jesus Master, which is a term of dignity and a term of deep respect. But now he says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He calls him the Lord. You see, something wonderful has taken place in Peter's life. A great conversion has taken place in Peter's life. And now he goes from thinking that Jesus is an especially gifted preacher and teacher to believing that he is the Lord who has come into the world to save and redeem people from their sins. And so he no longer calls him Master, but he calls him O Lord. You see, he has been moved by the teaching of Jesus and by the sign that Jesus performed that confirmed Jesus' teaching and confirmed Jesus' identity. And now he is a believer, and he has confessed his unworthiness, and he has confessed his sinfulness, and he has confessed that Jesus is the Lord. And then it says, for he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes that they had taken. They were amazed at this. And so it was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. So everybody, it was like being shot out of a cannon. This miracle was so powerful and so powerfully attested to who Jesus is and how true and reliable his words are. And so Peter is there on his knees, and Jesus says to him in the hearing of all, he says, fear not. Stop being afraid. Right? Stop being afraid. This is an absolution. All right? This is exactly what happened in our service at the beginning this morning. We confessed our sins in the general confession, and then you received absolution. And that's what Jesus is doing here. When he says, do not be afraid, he is absolving Peter. But he's not only absolving him, he's calling him to a high office. He says, from now on, you will catch men. From now on, you will catch men. So the boat represents the Christian church in which Jesus is present. And he is the one who is teaching through the church. And so the world hears the gospel from Jesus through the church. And Peter and James and John are called to be the apostles of Christ, those whose teaching will become the foundation of the Holy Christian Church. So by performing this miracle after teaching, and by absolving Peter and calling him into the office of the holy ministry, Jesus is preparing the apostolic foundation of the Christian church. And what we believe and what gives us confidence and hope is this apostolic gospel, which was committed to the apostles by Jesus and which is taught by the church, with the presence and the working of Jesus in our very midst. Wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And so we rejoice today that what Jesus did in this elaborate miracle picture pictures for us what he does all of the time in his holy Christian church. We praise him for his gospel. We praise him for his grace. We praise him for his goodness, by which we are forgiven of our sins and we are declared to be his and called to serve him in his holy church. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.